And I want us to see what Scripture says about spiritual fellowship. Look at verse 42 with me. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. First of all, I want you to notice the phrase continued steadfastly. Some of the Bible scholars have commented on this and say that it means they were devoted for life. And as a Christian, we need to be devoted for life. Amen? So, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. First of all, they were steadfast in the Word of God. Church, if we're going to make a difference in this world, we have to be grounded in the Word. Not grounded in the cultural mindset, but grounded in the Word of God. What does His Word say? And that's how we're going to live life. And next, it says, and fellowship. The word there is koinonia in the Greek, and it means communion or fellowship. But it also has another meaning that's interesting, distribution. So they were giving in this fellowship. They were giving of themselves. They were ministering to one another. And we're going to see later in this text, they were also even giving sometimes materially. Let's go on. In the breaking of bread. So this speaks not only of a communion, but it speaks of coming together in small homes and small groups or going out to eat together and just communing together, fellowshipping together. How many like to eat? Christians should love to eat because we're commanded to. In the breaking of bread, they were committed to that, and in prayers. In church, we need to be committed to prayer. Amen? There's no doubt about it. A prayerless life will be a life that is struggling, a life that isn't living in the strength that God wants us to live in. It's going to be a weak Christian walk. Let's go on, verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I love that last verse. Lord, do that here. Amen? Add to the church daily. Lord, use us to reach out and share the love and the life of Jesus, that people will come to you. Now, in the last verse here, the verse 46 and 47, the last two verses, it talks about three different ministries. It talks about ministry to the Lord. It talks about ministry to one another and ministry to the world. And Christians should be involved in all these ministries. Let's read that verse 46 and 47 again. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity to heart. That's ministry to one another. They were fellowshipping. They were eating together. They were ministering to one another. Verse 47, praising God. That's ministry to the Lord. And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So those three areas of ministry are what all of us are called to. First of all, we need to be people that minister to the Lord. We shouldn't be ashamed to praise Him, to worship Him, to give Him glory. Amen? We should love to come and to worship. And we don't just worship when we're gathered together. We worship at home. We worship in our lifestyle. Everything about our lifestyle should be worship to the Lord. Our first ministry is to worship Him. But then we're also called to minister to one another. Why? Because we need one another. God created us that way. We're not to be separated from one another. We're to be together and worship Him together and minister to one another. And then finally, we're called to minister to the world, because the world needs Jesus. Amen? The world needs Jesus. You can sum it up in that one phrase. What's the problem in the world today? The world needs Jesus. Amen? That's it. They need the love. They need the life. Why do all these crazy things and things that are definitely evil take place and seem to be taking control in our world today? It's because people are running from God instead of running to God. So I want to be a church that ministers to the Lord, ministers to one another, and ministers to the world. Let's go on. In the second chapter of Acts, in verse 44 and 45, let's look at those verses again. There's something else we need to see there. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. This is spiritual fellowship. We find a dimension of love among the people that's not present in other areas of life. Why? Because it was divine love. It was the love of God in them and God's Spirit working in them that enabled them to not only pray for one another or care for one another, but they put their actions behind their words. They cared. Now, when you first look at this, you may think that, are they talking about socialism? Are they talking about communism? Is this some kind of socialism in the name of Jesus? No, it's not. So rest assured. I can tell you right now, socialism is not biblical. Socialism puts people under the thumb of control of the government. It doesn't lift people up. You may not like the everything about our country, but there's no other country that gives people the opportunity that our country does to grow and to succeed. Amen? You may say, well, what about the greed? Yes, greed isn't biblical. It's not all about money. But the free market system, and I boldly proclaim this, the free market system is the best system we have. Amen? So we're not socialists. We're not communists. I've talked to too many people that have come from communist and socialist countries that were so thankful to be out of those countries and come to the United States of America, where they had the freedom to start their own business and to succeed and to build wealth or to do whatever they wanted to do. And so I'm thankful. And I'm not promoting greed, but I'm thankful that I live in the United States of America. I talk to pastors almost every day right now in Pakistan because of the persecution. They're coming against Christians. They're destroying churches. And they're destroying the homes of Christians, and Christians can't get jobs. I have numerous different Christians in Pakistan that say, is there any way that you can sponsor me? I want to come to America. And I said, I wish I could, and my heart breaks. But church, be thankful for what we have. Amen. In our culture, we use the term brothers and sisters. If you're part of a union, you'll hear in a union meeting the term brothers. Sometimes if you're in a club, you'll hear the brothers or sisters. And so we use that term a lot, but there's a difference when we use it in the church. It is not the same as what we have in clubs or in union meetings. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, he said, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. He's saying, my real family are those that know the Father, that live for Him, that are part of my family. In church, the closest family we have should be our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, well, that's kind of old-fashioned. Well, it's biblical. I still call fellow Christians brothers and sisters in Christ. And yeah, I grew up doing that. We've gotten away from that. And I'm not saying you have to do that. Turn to somebody sitting next to you and say, God bless you, brother or sister. I'm not saying you have to live your life that way, but you need to have that mindset that we have brothers and sisters, we have families in Christ, no matter where we go in the entire world. It was so refreshing to me when I went to Pakistan and I would be in various different churches and the people would come and immediately there was a connection. Even though they didn't speak the same language as I did, even though I was preaching through an interpreter, there was a connection. We were both family because we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And that family connection was there, and they wanted prayer. And we talked about Jesus, and we gave Him worship and glory. Their songs were different. Their music was different. But their praise was the same. Their worship was the same. Amen. And we were family. It was so amusing. Brother Jim Duncan, he went with me on the first trip. And we were in this church, and the pastor just got excited. And he was just singing and worshiping and jumping around. And he came up to me, and he reached over, and he grabbed my hand. And it was this hand. And I just squeezed his hand, you know, praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, he starts going like this. And he starts jumping up and down. And here I am, just going, okay, let's go. But he was family. He recognized that I was family. And we were worshiping the King together. I couldn't understand what he was saying. He didn't understand what I was saying. But we were family worshiping Jesus together. You know, in our corporate settings, we have what we call team building. And they'll have teams of people that'll go for a day or sometimes for a weekend, and they'll do different things to try to bring them together and because they recognize that a team accomplishes far more than individuals. And the church shouldn't have to have team building exercises because we should have that connection already. Look in Acts chapter 4. There's another passage, and I want us to look at this to clarify something. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and 33. Now the multitudes of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That's spiritual fellowship. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possesses was his own. That's powerful. They were recognizing that everything that I have comes from God. Like Abram when he came to Melchizedek and he raised his hand and he said, everything, he told the king, you're not going to say that you're going to make me wealthy because God's the one that makes me wealthy, the maker of heaven and earth. In church, we need to recognize, I talked with a lady this week and she said, God's blessed me. And she started naming off all the different things that God had blessed her with. But she said, they're not mine, they're God's. She said, they're still God's, and I'll do whatever He wants me to do with them. That's the heart we should have, that everything belongs to Him. But they had, listen to this, all things in common. Why were they all things in common? Was it, again, socialism? No, it's because they all belongs to God. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Now notice the phrase, great grace was upon them. I love the word grace. How about you? Grace means God's unmerited favor. You have favor with God, not because of what you've done, not because of who you are, just because God loves you. And he gives his favor towards you. But in this text, the great grace was upon them isn't talking about God's favor. It's using the word grace in another way. It's talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit in them was working in them, causing them to sell some of their possessions and give the proceeds to the apostles that they could be distributed to those that were struggling. In other words, the grace was an act of the Holy Spirit of God bringing about God's love and God's power in their lives to do what God called them to do. That's another definition of grace, God's grace. Now look at verse 34 again, or 34 and 35. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. Notice the phrase, of the things that were sold. Again, this isn't communism. They didn't sell everything and put it into one big pile and make everybody even. But the ones that had more, it says the Holy Spirit moved in their hearts to sell some things to help others that were struggling. Look at verse 35. And laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Again in verse 34, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. This same spirit of grace is something that Melinda and I have tried to cultivate in our lives. There's many things that we recognize, God, you've blessed us with everything. Everything, every home that we've had, every vehicle we've had, all of our things, we recognize they belong to God. Through the years, many times we have taken people into our home that were in need or struggling. One time it was a family where there was difficulties in the home, and the mother and the children needed a place to stay. And they ended up staying with us for about 6 or 8 weeks while they worked things out and got things squared away. Another time it was a teenager that had gotten into trouble, and we were asked to take them in, actually by the city that we were living in. And we've never regretted it. One time I had a brand new vehicle, and I love that car. It was so much fun to drive. And the Lord just prompted me. He said, I want you to offer your car to such and such for them to take it out on their anniversary. And it was brand new. I thought, this couldn't be God. But I did, and it blessed them. Another time, I've told this one several times, I had a young man that wanted to learn how to go deer hunting, and he didn't have a father. He grew up, and he was about 20 years old. And so I said, I'll take you deer hunting. And he said, well, I don't have a gun or anything. I said, that's okay, I'll provide you one. So I had a nice .30-06. It was a Weatherby. It had beautiful wood on it. And I said, this is one of my favorite deer hunting rifles, and I'm going to let you use this. And I said, you go up here and you climb this road and then cut on over and you can hunt up there. And anyway, he found a creek that ran down, and he followed that creek down. He shot 2 deer that day, and it was in Wrangell. It was legal, so don't worry. And he dragged them down through the the waterfalls and everything, you know, to get them back to the road. And I came up to him and I said, wow, you got two of them. And he said, yes, I did. It was so awesome. And then I looked at my rifle sitting over there in the rocks with a big chunk out of the stock. And I said, Jesus, it's yours. I ended up giving the rifle away, actually. I redid the stock and ended up giving it away. But church, what I'm saying here is, I'm not saying you have to go out and sell everything. That's not what this text is talking about. This text is talking about spiritual fellowship, where we care about the body of Christ, and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us so that we can minister to the body. That's what it's about. That's what church is supposed to be. In the beginning, we looked at Acts chapter 2. This was the beginning of the church, the birth of the church. And they established the church, and they were living in this pattern of life. This is the love that the early church had. This sharing together doesn't make everyone come to the lowest common denominator, but it just sees that everyone has their needs met. Those who love indeed learn that they, if they have extra, the Holy Spirit stirs their heart, then they're going to follow the Holy Spirit, follow the leading of the Spirit. You know, I told you a while ago, that rifle that I had that came back looking bad, and I redid the stock on it, it looked nice again, and I ended up giving it away, because I felt that's what God was calling me to do. You know what happened when I gave it away? God gave me another one. You can't outgive God. Not only did He give me another one, He gave me a better rifle. And that's the way God works. Amen. Has anyone ever seen the little cartoon of the little girl that's standing there and she's holding her little teddy bear? And Jesus is kneeled down and He says, please give me your teddy bear. And the little girl, you can see that expression on her face. She's struggling. Oh, but Jesus, I love my teddy bear. But what she doesn't see is that Jesus, behind His back, has an even better, huge teddy bear that He wants to give her. I love that cartoon because it's real life. It's true. That's the way that God works. Look at verse in 1 John. I want us to see something else about spiritual fellowship. That which was from the beginning. Chapter 1 of 1 John, verse 1 through 3. Chapter 1 of 1 John, chapter 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He's talking about Jesus. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now this was John. He's saying, I was there. I've walked with Jesus. I've experienced His presence. I know that He is the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying, I have fellowshipped with Him and the Father, and I want you to fellowship with me and fellowship with them. That's spiritual fellowship. Amen? That should be our attitude. We should have that relationship with the Father and with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, and say, let me tell you, God's changed and transformed my heart. He's transformed my life. And I want you to experience the same wonderful fellowship It doesn't matter where I am. He's always there with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He's right there all the time. He fellowships with me. He guides me. He directs me. Amen. And I want you to come into this fellowship too. That's what John's saying. He's a man with a heart that had walked with God intimately and had the experience, the touch of Jesus, and he wanted others to experience it as well. Now, it's interesting, in this same epistle, 1 John, he uses phrases like this. He refers to Christians as little children, young men, and fathers. And there's a point there that I want us to see. Fellowship, spiritual fellowship, isn't with just mature Christians. It's not just a little group of elders that get together that have been serving Jesus for 50 years and say, we're going to have fellowship, we're going to have fun, we're going to talk about Jesus in the Word. No, John here is including those that are brand new Christians, amen? Those that have been Christians and walking with the Lord a little time, and those that are mature Christians. We need to fellowship together. We shouldn't, you know, that's one thing that I struggle with is our children's church and our youth groups and in our seniors groups. And they all have their place and I'm thankful for them. But church, we need to make sure that all of us fellowship together. Amen? You should be thankful. In Pakistan, they all come, they sit on the floor in church. The little kids are right here. The teenagers and the moms and dads and the grandparents, they're all together. They don't have youth groups. They don't have children's church. They just have church. And the kids grow up in that. And so and I don't have anything against children's church or youth. I thank God for the ministries. But church, make sure we're not making little cliques where we think somebody's not mature enough in their walk with God to fellowship with us. We should have a heart, a brand new Christian. I love brand new Christians. Why? Because they're passionate. They're transformed. They're not the same anymore. The fire of God's burning in their hearts and lives, and they're not ashamed to tell everybody. Amen. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I was bound in this and bound in that. My life was horrible. But then I found Jesus. And he took it all away and restored me. So, you know what? I really think all of us need to hang around brand new Christians a little more. Because to rekindle that fire in our own hearts and lives. Amen? So make sure that we fellowship spiritually. And it doesn't just have to do with a certain age group in their maturity in the walk with the Lord. Another verse I want us to see is Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Did you know that there's more than 20 verses in the New Testament that command us to love one another? We're supposed to love one another. One of the things that will hinder a congregation faster than anything else is when individuals in the church get upset at one another and stop loving one another and stop fellowshipping with one another. Don't let that happen to you. You come to one another, you speak the truth in love, you work through whatever the offense was so that that love is there. And that you can continue to grow and have spiritual fellowship. It's the enablement of the Holy Spirit that allows us to love one another. How many realize that? Because some of us aren't very lovable. Come on, admit it. But you know you can love one another as the Holy Spirit works in you. The Holy Spirit will enable us to do that. When we're filled with the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, we are strengthened by the Spirit, and there's going to be multiplication through the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40, Peter finishes up his sermon on Pentecost, and he says these powerful words. He says, "Be saved from this perverse generation. Be saved from this perverse generation." This world is in a mess. And church, we need to be saved from this perverse generation. And notice that right after that, right after he says that in his message, the church sets this pattern of spiritual fellowship. Church, I love Sunday mornings. I do. I love to come and hear the music and worship with you, see you, greet you, pray with you. But you know what? That's not enough. It's not enough. We need to do life together. We need to have that family relationship. That's why we have various small groups in the church. And I, with all my heart, church, I want you to grasp this. Because we're living in the last days. We're living in times that the Bible talks about as the last days. And there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of evil. But at the same time, Jesus said, "I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh." So there's going to be glorious things that God's doing. But we need one another. We need fellowship. You can't have spiritual fellowship the way that God desires for us to have if you only come once in a while. Now, I am thankful for technology. Every Sunday, we record our messages, and they are put on Pakistani TV and various other countries around them, and over a million people every week hear the Word of God. I'm thankful for technology. But church, there's a limit to what you are involved in and get from when you're not there. When you get up in the morning and you watch on live stream and you have your little cup of coffee sitting in your PJs, it's comfy. And I'm thankful, I know some of our people, we have over 300 on average every Sunday that are online joining us. And I say, thank you, Jesus. But at the same time, I say, if you're close enough to join us, if you're not sick, if you don't have some other valid reason why you can't join the body for spiritual fellowship. Because we pray at the end of every service. If you have a prayer need, we want to pray with you. We want to come in agreement with you. We want to fellowship with you. Guess what? Today after church, we're having cake. Woo! Because we're family and it's Dale's birthday. It's all, I think tomorrow, the next day, is Josh's birthday. And I think Hank's birthday. Hank's birthday is right here close. Anyway, we've got a lot of birthdays in September. So we've got a cake and we're going to fellowship. That's part of being a family. That's why we do that. But church, get involved with someone. When you come to church, just don't come to church, then slip out and never talk to anybody. Talk to somebody. Get to know them. Iron sharpens iron. That's what Scripture says. Invite somebody to eat. Invite somebody over to your house. Last night I came in and late to the church, and MJ was over here and she was working over in we're making a new guest area to invite guests after the service, and she's been working hard and diligently on that. And I walked in and caught her on that. She was doing a great job. And I said, "MJ, I want to hire you." And she looks at me, really funny. "For what?" I said, "Melinda and I are so busy, it's hard for us to decorate our house for Christmas. And this year, I want to have more people over to our house for Christmas than I've ever had before. Because I want to have spiritual fellowship. So I want you to come and help us decorate. Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that, she said. And this year, everybody is invited to my house. Not at the same time. I'm going to have it set up different nights. But I want everybody who wants to come and fellowship with me to have the opportunity to do that. Because I love you with all my heart. You're my family. And no matter what takes place in this world around us, we have one another, and most of all, we have Jesus. Amen. We're going to be there for one another. No matter how bad or difficult it gets, we're going to stand with one another. We're going to pray with one another. Last night, I got a call, and one of my dearest and oldest friends passed away. He had cancer, but they just found the cancer in July, and the Lord worked it out. I was in Texas, and he had just found out. He called me over to his house, and I had a wonderful evening with him and his wife. The next day, I came back to see him, and he just found out, and they didn't give him very long, and it wasn't. It's only been a little over a month. But he knows Jesus. And I prayed with him. And I sent him text almost every day. And I'd pray, and I'd send him a prayer text, or I'd send him scripture, or I'd send him a fancy one with scripture or something, you know. But every day I let him know that I was there with him, that I was fighting that battle. And I said, don't give up. I said, God is able to heal you. But if you don't receive your healing, guess what? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says it's far better to go to be with Jesus. And so I just encouraged him. And I talked to him yesterday before he passed away. And he couldn't talk back by then. But I prayed with him and just told him I loved him and thanked him for being one of my best and oldest friends. And his wife was there, and she said, he understands you. I can see his eyebrows going up and down, and he couldn't talk, but he was communicating back. I want to have friends that are there in the midst of the battle, that don't give up, that fight with me, and ultimately know that no matter what happens in this world, we're all going to be with Jesus one day. Amen. Spiritual fellowship. All of us need it. Don't think, I've said this many times, don't think you can be the Lone Ranger. Because you can't. We don't grow as much. We're not there for one another. Every Lone Ranger needs a Tonto. I do. And you do. I want you to stand with me, and I want Mitch to come. Mitch and I have both been preaching for the last several weeks about small groups and the importance of it. And church, it's not because we're trying to manipulate anyone. It's not because we're trying to say, oh, we've got so many small groups and so many people in them. It's because with all of our heart, we believe it's biblical. We believe that's a pattern set in Scripture. And it's there for a reason. And so I want you to seriously consider being a part of some type of small group in the church. Our worship team is a small group. The seniors have several different small groups. We have life groups that we're going to have starting on Sundays here next week. And we have a sign-up sheet. In the summer, we even had a small group of motorcycle riders. Yeah! And we've gotten one that's just about to convert because he was riding a Moto Guzzi and now he's going to get a Harley. My prayers have been answered. You can have fun in small groups. I was joking about the conversion and the motorcycles, but when I went to Hawaii a couple of years ago and I was preaching in Hawaii, I was invited to go with one of the guys that had a small group, and their small group was a motorcycle small group, and it was a lot of fun. They let me borrow a bike, and I got to ride with several of them, and we rode around the island, and then they stopped at a little park. And they got off of their motorcycles, and we said, we're going to take a break. They had some sandwiches and some water. And then one of them pulls out his Bible and says, now we're going to have a time of prayer and have a time of devotion. And he went right into a devotion. You can have fun and still live for Jesus. Amen. Maybe the Lord's stirring your heart today. If he is, I hope that you'll answer that call today and say, Lord, I want to be part of a spiritual fellowship of the church. If you have a need today, we want to pray with you. That's part of ministering to the body. I'm going to ask our prayer team, if they would, to come across the front and around the back of the auditorium. And if you have a need today, I want you to step out from where you are and find one of these prayer team members, and they'll pray with you. Whatever your need is today, they want to come alongside you in that battle and pray with you and believe God is going to move and intervene in your situation. If you don't have a prayer need today, then just join us as we sing another chorus and just worship to the Lord before we go. Minister to Him.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.